Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Hello, this is Stephen O'Doherty. Australia is often hailed as a model of religious tolerance and freedom. But how far does our tolerance extend, and does it apply equally? The Department of Education in Queensland has been reviewing religious instruction in Queensland state schools. And among other things, there are now questions about whether the department is tolerant of students talking about their faith to other students. Now, as in other states, religious instruction, or RI, is taught during time set aside each week. In Queensland, it was a referendum more than 100 years ago that cemented this right. It's taught by volunteers on behalf of denominations or recognised religious bodies. The lessons are not compulsory, they're not part of the official curriculum, they don't count towards your school results, and parents elect the faith group their children attend. They can also opt out. So far, so good. Well, as with anything else done in a school, RI needs to be done in a way that conforms with the overarching policies of the school, under policies like safe and supportive environment, child protection, workplace health and safety. It's principals who have the responsibility for making sure those policies are being followed, whether it be before and after school care, school band program, or religious instruction. Now, that too is also unexceptional. Except that for some people, religion has no place at all in a state school, even when it's non-compulsory. Following a complaint by a principal in 2016 that religious instruction may have breached some of those policies, the Queensland Department of Education has now conducted three successive reviews. And in those reviews, to my mind, the department is struggling to find a fair balance that protects the exercise of religion. The tone of these reviews is passive, but the meaning and the content seem clear enough. The reviews are critical and take a very jaundiced view of the material presented in RI classes. Take, for example, this one. The latest review talks about a lesson on forgiveness. Now, Nelson Mandela's extraordinary leadership of South Africa was a model of the power of forgiveness and reconciliation to change a nation. We could well do with more leaders like him. He modelled Christian principles. And in fact, you can hear more about that in another Open House podcast, our interview with Nelson Mandela's bodyguard, Rory Stein. But the Queensland Department of Education is concerned that the lessons in this unit include the terms black and white, and they're concerned because, quote, this could draw unwanted attention to students within the class or school. Well, what do you make of that? My comment is, it could indeed tell students about the significance of reconciliation, something Australia sorely needs as well. To prevent a lesson on reconciliation because it talks about blacks and whites in South Africa, one of the marvels of the 20th century, is counterproductive to say the least. It's revisionist thinking that has no place in a free society. Well, then there's the story of Daniel, who refused to eat food sacrificed to other gods as an act of obedience to his God. He's an outstanding example of principled leadership. Yet the department says this might contravene the healthy eating guidelines because he ate only vegetables. You see what I mean? It's as though they're going out of their way to find fault. And perhaps most worrying of all, the department now has asked principals who run the schools to be on the lookout for evangelising by students. And here's what it says. While not explicitly prohibited by the various acts and regulations, nor referenced in the RI policy statement, quote, the department expects schools to take appropriate action if aware that students participating in RI are evangelising to students who do not participate in their RI class, given this could adversely affect the school's ability to provide a safe, supportive, and inclusive environment for all students. Well, the question that begs is this. Has the department overstepped the mark? To get a legal perspective on that question, we turned to Mark Fowler. He's a senior lawyer in private practice in Queensland and an expert on human rights. Has the department in Queensland overstepped the mark with this one?
Well, I think, you know, as a lawyer, we have to start with considering the legal position. So let's just be clear on what they're saying in their report. So the report is focusing on evangelism, and there are concerns expressed as to when students are encouraged to share their faith with other students that are not attending RI. And it's said in the report that's just been released that this could adversely affect the school's ability to provide a safe, supportive and inclusive environment for all students.
Yeah, and it goes on to say principals should keep an eye out.
Yes.
So here's the proposition, plain English proposition if you like. A child talks to another child in the playground about the fact they're going to go to fellowship on Friday night or they had a great time at church on Sunday. And they might even say, hey, you know, do you want to come along with me? Suddenly, the principal has a dilemma. The department says he should keep his eye out for that because there's something, there is the suggestion that there's something wrong with it. And yet the department hasn't made a clear case as to what's wrong nor why it's wrong.
Yeah. So there's a couple, there's at least four different dynamics at play here on the legal front. So let's get quickly into them. The first one is freedom of religion. Of course, so a lot of the mainstream faiths do have an aspect of sharing the hope that someone has in that faith with others. The question is evangelism part of the core or part of the religion or beliefs of the Christian religion? And I think that that's a fairly non-contentious statement. So the question is the burden protected that's being expressed by the department, is it protected in law? Let's look first at the idea of the protection of religious freedom. In this case, it's often raised that Section 116 of the Australian Constitution will come up. The only issue is that Section 116, which protects the free exercise of religion, is a Commonwealth protection, not then necessarily binding upon the Queensland state government. The next question is, if we can't rely on that, is there some kind of presumption in the common law which would protect religious freedom? And happily there is. So the English common law does recognise that individuals have a right of freedom of expression.
Yes.
That can only be burdened by clear parliamentary intention. Okay, so it can.
In other words, the parliament would have to pass a law for the common law presumption that you are free to exercise your religion. The parliament would have to pass a law against it to overcome that common law presumption.
Correct. Yeah,
and it's not. And they haven't done so.
Yeah, so it's quite clear. And in a sense, this reflects freedom of religion and separation of church and state principles. The churches are the bodies that define their denominational belief and doctrines, and they're the ones that then bring it in. So we're avoiding a scrutiny by the state of church belief and conviction here. What the department is concerned about is the harm principle, that children may be harmed by the sharing.
All right, now let's just unpack that for a moment. So we've got a situation where no one can actually make a compelling case, and you've gone through the reasons why. Nobody can make a compelling case that the department or the government has any right to stop people from exercising religion, and exercising religious freedom would include talking to people about the hope you have in your faith. In other words, what Christians would say is evangelism. Mm. In the absence of that, a number of these reviews into scripture classes, religious instruction classes, have focused on, okay, well, does the principal of the school have an overriding responsibility to make sure that other policies are not being breached, such as safe and supportive environment for children and other policies? So that's where we're at the moment. Mm. So what's your view of that?
Well, the question is there a harm being affected here?
Yeah.
So part of the issue I have with this is that the concept of what John Rawls, who was a Harvard philosopher, framed as a comprehensive worldview. What we're talking about is that persons who have a comprehensive worldview that happens to be a religious worldview are not permitted to share elements of that worldview with others, whereas those that have other forms of worldview, say an atheistic worldview or a secular worldview, are. So this brings us to the next problem at law here, and that is discrimination. So there is an argument that under the Anti-Discrimination Act, religious belief is a protected attribute.
Mm-hmm.
So if it could be said that children are being discriminated against who have a faith that asks them to share their hope, then really the crown in the form of the state of Queensland is breaching the Anti-Discrimination Act. So there's also...
Which is ironic because in their own document, and over and over again, but in this latest one, they've repeated it. They frame this within the context of exactly the same discrimination provisions. They say that teaching kids about religion might contravene the freedom of others not to be taught about religion under the Anti-Discrimination Act, in which case you don't discriminate on the grounds of religion, gender, language, sexual orientation, a number of attributes. But that's lopsided. If a person can't speak about their religion, are you protecting people, or does the Discrimination and Discrimination Act protect people from religion, or does it protect people of religion? Is it freedom from or freedom for?
Yeah, correct. And quite clearly, the protected attribute is religious belief. So there is a concern there that does certainly need to be looked at. The other thing in terms of freedom of religion is the international human rights law that applies.
Yep.
And so the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights is the relevant international human rights instrument, and it protects religious freedom under Article 18. And the question is that the expression of religious freedom can actually be limited to the extent that it's necessary to protect public safety, order, health, morals, or the fundamental rights and freedoms of others. So in this case, if we're talking about a harm principle, are we talking about public safety, order, the fundamental rights and freedoms of others? Probably not the latter. So the test then is it necessary? So when we're thinking about harm, what is going to be harmful? The mere sharing of an alternative worldview, perhaps if that then presented ultimately in the form of fisticuffs, then there may be a harm that's being affected. But the mere sharing of a worldview, yeah, one would have thought is part of the educative experience.
Well, you would have thought in a pluralistic society it's part of growing up in a way that we learn to respect all people. And you can't learn to respect people if people are not free, if there are secret societies. And Mark Fowler, I wonder whether you think that in some respects the department should be careful what it wishes for, because if it wants to drive religion into the secret preserve of closed societies, we suddenly start becoming like a very different democracy than the one that we've all hailed, which is supposed to be the model to the world of what a pluralistic democracy is.
Quite right. So then, the question, it comes back to that comprehensive worldview point that I was making. Secularism itself is an equivalent comprehensive worldview. So what we're effectively doing is only allowing for secularism to be expressed in the public marketplace, and that is discriminating against other forms of comprehensive worldview, like the religious form.
Well, we're doing a bit more than that, though. We're actually allowing people to denigrate, deride, and intimidate people who hold a particular belief, a Christian belief. Mm. So it's not just secularism, it's militant atheism.
Mm. And there is, interestingly enough, and it's not been enlivened by the Christian faith to my knowledge, but there are protections in law in Queensland for religious vilification. So that's a relevant consideration as well.
Indeed. Mm. Under what pretext can the department actually maintain an idea that religion is harm? And let me just go through a couple of the examples in this document, because they are singling out lessons and applying the most extraordinary conclusions to them. So, for example, a lesson about Daniel. Daniel and his friends were faithful to their God and wouldn't eat food that was inappropriate to their religion. The department's review... As of which I take a slightly critical air, you might note, the department says that this is very poor because it doesn't teach a healthy, balanced diet because they only ate vegetables.
Yes.
It's not about vegetables, it's about faith.
Yes, correct. And obviously, so looking at the actual, as I understand it, those materials, what the point of those materials are, as you've just said, Stephen, is to show that individuals took a stand on faith, followed that through in their actions, and that God honoured that. And that's the message of that particular component of the book of Daniel.
And then there's this other one. They say, yeah, oh, you shouldn't use the use of the words black and white might are inappropriate. So therefore, in a lesson about forgiveness, which is focused on the extraordinary events that took place in South Africa, with Nelson Mandela being able to bring about, with others, bring about the reconciliation to some degree of black and white at the most difficult time of that country's history, a lesson every nation on earth looks to as how to do reconciliation, the department says, oh, you shouldn't use that as an example of forgiveness, a Christian principle. Why? Because it uses the terms black and white. which were commonly in use during the apartheid regime, and in many parts of the world still are today, of course.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the absurdity in that position is rather palpable, isn't it? But and on the first one about the vegetarianism, you know, part of the issue is that the state, what's happening there is that the state's actually misunderstanding the position that's being put forward.
Yes.
It's misconstruing it entirely. And part of the role...
Is that deliberate, state, do you think?
Well, I couldn't, you know, hazard an opinion as to whether it is intentional or not. But the issue is that an element of associational freedom and the role of the state is that the state really does need to contemplate and understand the nature of the associations within its mixed, which the state really just exists there to further. So if the state is simply, it's got a tin ear, is just not understanding what those convictions are,
yeah,
you know, it's not acquitting its role.
Well, Mark Fowler, it may not be a question that you want to engage in as a professional lawyer. Your legal analysis of this has been absolutely brilliant and very helpful. But I guess my question to you now is a political one. The executive branch of government, that is the Minister for Education, has it within her power to take this report and say, I'm sorry, this is a nonsense. It's actually counterproductive because it's so patently ridiculous that you talk about vegetables instead of obedience to God. Mm. And you can't talk forgiveness because of the use of the words black. You know, it's patently an ass.
Yes.
The minister surely should withdraw this and make it perfectly plain that principals must not interfere in students talking about their religion or any other religion to other kids in the playground, unless, as you say, there's some sort of palpable physical harm that would come from that, and that would apply to any sort of bullying or whatever in the playground.
Correct. So, look, I mean, the issue is that this particular... So what we're dealing with is a review by the department, and this is effectively then the department's view as to how it sees the law. So it is entirely up to the minister to scrutinise this and to apply the kind of rigour we've just discussed today,
yeah,
in terms of principles of religious freedom. Bureaucratic, you know, separation of powers is also at play here. So we've got the bureaucracy. I mean, it is actually admitted on this point of evangelism. The report itself does say, while not explicitly provided by the Act or the regulation, nor referenced in our policy statement, the department would expect schools to take appropriate action if aware that students participating in RI were evangelising. So it says the Act doesn't sanction what we're saying, the regulation doesn't sanction what we're saying, our written policy doesn't sanction this, but we're going to say it regardless.
Yes, and if I was a principal, I would say, well, thanks a bunch, because not only do you say that it's contrary to all of the policies and the law, you then tell me I'm supposed to take action, but you don't tell me what action and what criteria I should apply.
Correct. So there is a need for the minister to look with a very keen eye over this and consider the legal principles that are at play, including religious freedom, the international standards, and the power of the executive.
It's an important discussion, Mark Fowler. Thank you so much.
Pleasure, Stephen.
Queensland lawyer Mark Fowler. And for the record, we approached the Minister for Education for comment, but her office didn't return our calls.